Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. In today's world, nudity is not so unusual in our pop culture entertainment environments, but 100 years ago it was scandalous, and very much so here in St. Louis, when a major statue featuring a bare-breasted woman was unveiled. More on that in just a couple of moments. But first, there's not 100% agreement on an ambitious St. Louis County Library capital improvement plan now unfolding, especially plans to rebuild the Lewis and Clark and Tesson Ferry branches. Nonetheless, it's full speed ahead. Here with us to talk about the plan, reaction to it, and how the library system is looking to the future is the director of the system, Kristen Sorth. Kristen, so nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you knew you were going to get these questions right off the bat.
I did.
There's been a lot of concern about what's going to be going on with those two libraries I just mentioned. You surprised at the reaction?
I am not surprised about the reaction to Lewis and Clark, because we knew early on that there was some concern about the replacing it versus renovating it. So I'm not surprised about Lewis and Clark. I'm more surprised, I would say, about Tesson Ferry, because we had said from the beginning that we were moving the location, that we weren't going to build on the current site. So that was discussed early in the campaign for Prop L.
Why not renovate?
Well, at Tesson Ferry, the location is actually too small for what we want to do there. We're going from a 27,000-square-foot building to a 40,000-square-foot building. So our plans for a modern facility, we're not able to do that on the current site. Plus, there's some geological issues on the site as well, and we've just chosen to pick a different site.
And Lewis and Clark?
Lewis and Clark, again, we are going from a 16,000-square-foot building to a 20,000-square-foot building. The current building is on two floors, and the basement of the building, which is actually about 30% of the building, is not particularly usable space because of security concerns and other things. So it's also aging, and we want to expand it, do other things to the building that make it more modern. Also want to provide services to the community. It's what the community in Moline Acres and around that area wants. They want a new facility that meets their changing needs.
And yet there have been some petition attempts, I think, to get you folks to change your mind.
Sure. Those petitions have been circling, and they are often filled with names of individuals that are in the architectural community, which we respect, and we understand their passion for the building. What we're hearing from, though, is from the residents that actually use that branch and live in North County. We have the support of North County Inc., and also Senator Gina Walsh has supported new construction there. And we've heard from the patrons who overwhelmingly want a new branch in their area.
Well, some of the critics have said that you haven't been responsive to the community. What you're telling me is the fact that that's exactly why you're doing what you're doing.
That's exactly what we're doing. We feel like North County deserves a brand new facility just like South County does. And this is something that we've heard from the patrons for years, that there are limitations to that branch. They need more computers, more access. We're actually going to have a mini sort of Kinko's there, where people can use the facility to help look for jobs, an expanded children's area, those kinds of things that the community needs in Moline Acres.
Libraries are changing. I mean, they're a lot different than they were when I was younger, certainly, and I'm sure in your case as well.
Absolutely. We are a community resource. Our branches really are defined by the community that they serve. So our programs, our services, our materials, all of those reflect the community and the buildings as well. So we try and tailor to what the community needs. We are starting to do more outreach into the community to reach people in St. Louis County that are not able to come into our facilities. So we take our services out to them. For example, we have our Sweet Reads bookmobile that is going in the Spanish Lake area, and that delivers services to an underserved area of St. Louis County in the summer. And so we started this in 2013, and we're actually expanding it this year as well.
Some folks might not be really familiar with Sweet Reads. Yeah, give us a capsulized version of what that's all about.
Sure. Last year we started it, and it was a partnership with the Hazelwood School District, and it's a van that takes materials, library materials, to the areas in Spanish Lake that we've determined are good stops for sweet reeds. And the concept was sort of an ice cream truck concept. So they drive through these communities and they do make stops, and kids can come, parents, anybody can come, and they can pick materials out and take them home. And last year was a pilot program, and it was so successful that we decided to put money in the budget this year for a vehicle. Last year we just used one of our delivery vans, and this year we're going to get an actual small bookmobile to use. And we're also partnering with Operation Food Search at our locations this year, so they will be bringing sack lunches to some of our sites this summer so that kids can get lunches in the summer, especially kids that rely on the school lunches during the year. So that'll be part of Sweet Reads.
You know, this is most interesting. And it once again is symbolic, if you will, or emblematic of why, how libraries are changing. I mean, a lunch program is most unusual.
Yes, it is, and we're actually expanding it to some of our branches. We have three branches this summer that will be participating with partnering actually with Operation Food Search to provide free lunches to children this summer. It's at the Florissant Valley branch, the Rock Road branch, and the Weber Road branch. And it will start in June at those locations from noon to 1. Operation Food Search will bring lunches to the library. Kids will be able to eat the lunches there, and we will also do programming for the children while they're there. And the meals are funded through the state of Missouri and part of Operation Food Search's No Kid Hungry initiative.
Are these the same kids that would be getting a free lunch in the schools? Is that the idea?
Yes, absolutely. We picked the branches due to the need in the community, and also that they qualify for the free, that area qualifies for free or reduced lunches. And then also we picked them based on our availability, our meeting room availability. We wanted to be able to do it every day. So it's Monday through Friday, every day from June 2nd to August 15th.
And age range of kids who are eligible?
The age range is 2 to 18 is the age range. So.
Well, it's quite a program, and I think we'll startle people that the library is involved in this.
We're really thrilled about it, and we're really looking forward to providing this resource for our community.
What sort of responsiveness do you get from young people? So many of them are into the electronic things these days.
Sure. We are still a lot about children and teens at our library. And so our summer reading club is actually starting. It started on Monday. And last year we had 120,000 people participate in our summer reading club. And that's for babies, kids, teens, and adults. So the whole family can participate. But our branches are busy, busy, busy in the summer. A lot of the branches have trouble keeping books on the shelves because they're flying off, that kids are out checking out books and reading. And then, of course, we're really, really trying to focus on teens. We want to bring them into the library. So we have teen advisory groups in almost all of our branches. And so the teens get to help pick out what the furniture looks like in those areas, and they have groups and meetings and programs just for teens.
Why so much emphasis on teens?
Well, a lot of times kids are in the library, and then when they become teenagers, they're not interested in going to the library anymore because it may not be the cool thing to do. So we try and have things that teens like in the library. We have laptop bars and cool furniture and materials that they read. There's a huge focus in the literary world on teen materials, and so there's a lot of great books out there that teens are reading that are bringing them into the library.
How about older folks?
We have tons of programs for older folks, and I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, what your definition of older folks is, but
we better not go there.
We better not. We have tons of adult programming at the library. We have knitting clubs and card clubs and book discussion groups. Many, all of our branches have book discussion groups. We have book discussion kits that people who don't do their book discussion groups at the library can check out from us, and it comes with all the books that they need for a book discussion group, along with the questions that they can ask in their club. We have just a ton of programming for adults. We also have computer classes for all ages and all levels, skill levels. So those are available as well at the library.
Does library traffic increase over time, or has it decreased? And I'm thinking of all the other diversions that are out there for everybody, of all age groups.
We actually, at the St. Louis County Library, have seen just a tremendous increase in both our circulation and our visits. Since 2008, our circulation is up 55%. We circulated 15 million items in 2013. And our visits to the library are up 28%. And we had 6.1 million people visit our libraries in 2013.
Is there a social element to all of this?
Sure. We really see the library as a community. So a lot of our new facilities are going to have more open floor plans where people can gather, spaces where people can collaborate on projects. And we see this as a place where people come. We always laugh that we're not a shushy library anymore. If you come into the library, sometimes it's quite loud. And so in our facility projects, we're trying to find and develop more quiet spaces because we do have so many people there gathering to collaborate. At the headquarters branch this time of year with finals coming out, there are kids, teenagers everywhere sitting on the floors at night. It is a very loud and interesting place.
You know, in some urban areas, there is a problem in some libraries with homeless people gathering there. Is this a situation that you have to deal with?
Occasionally, we do have a situation like that, but it's not the same as in, as you said, more urban areas. We do occasionally have a situation that we have to deal with.
All right. Well, with this background on the library, I'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more about the capital improvements project, because there are many other things that we have to deal with that. Kristen Sorth is our guest. She heads the St. Louis County Library System. We'll come back, continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you'd prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on Air. Back with Kristen Sorth in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Kristen Sorth of the St. Louis County Library in just a moment. We're talking about the library and its capital improvements plan and other things. But before we do continue that conversation, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Missouri lawmakers have given final approval to a proposed constitutional amendment that would allow early voting. The proposal would permit early voting on 6 days, but not on Saturday or Sunday. The measure will be on the ballot this year. A court hearing is being held at this hour regarding the peer-to-peer ride-sharing app Lyft. Lyft has been fighting with the Metropolitan Taxicab Commission in St. Louis since it said it would start providing service in the city in mid-April. Today's hearing deals with a temporary restraining order preventing Lyft from doing business. And the St. Louis Aldermanic Ways and Means Committee is meeting at this hour to discuss the City Police Department's budget for fiscal year 2015. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Kristen Sorth, the St. Louis County Library Director. Kristen, we had talked a little bit about some of the new construction projects you have going under the capital improvement plan. This is part of phase one, correct? What,
yes.
What else is involved in phase one?
Sure. So Tesson Ferry and Lewis and Clark, as we talked about, are new construction in phase one. Also in phase one are renovations of many of our branches. In fact, there's 9 branches that will be renovated in phase one, and those include Rock Road, Indian Trails, Jamestown Bluffs, Weber Road, Oak Bend, Natural Bridge, Prairie Commons, Cliff Cave, and the Saks Branch. So Rock Road is actually getting an addition, but the rest of them are getting renovations. And we have things that we're focusing on in each of the branches to improve service to our community.
Well, how disruptive is all of this going to be to your regular library traffic?
Well, I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be a little disruptive. We're trying to stage the projects out so that all of the work isn't done in one part of the county. So we'll space them out over time and do that so it doesn't have a huge impact on the residents of St. Louis County.
And how did all of this come about? I mean, the public obviously was involved.
Sure. In 2012, we went to the voters with Prop L and asked them for a tax increase. And we told them at the time that we were going to be renovating many of our branches and laid out the plan for doing that. And then after that passed, with 58% of the vote, we developed a plan to go forward to do the renovation projects in three phases over 10 years.
But during the course of this campaign, it was not suggested at that time that the two branches we're talking about would be rebuilt.
It was suggested.
Oh, it was.
Okay. It was, yes. We said during the campaign, it's actually based on our facilities plan that we started in 2008 and updated again in 2011 and 12, that we would be replacing both Tesson Ferry and Lewis and Clark.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell me about phase one or two?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about what the facilities are going to feature. And one of the main focuses to make the buildings more functional and accessible, renovated restrooms, and new furniture, new seating options, open floor plans, enhanced children and teen spaces, programming rooms for children where we can actually go and do story time in a program room, a craft room, study areas, quiet spaces, and of course, technology-friendly design. So places for people to plug in if they're on their laptops, places for people to sit on their laptops and use our free Wi-Fi. And then the new facilities have many of the same things. However, they have design strategies that are a little different just because they're new facilities.
And this technology is really has to be part of the reason for changes because you have to accommodate what is current and what people are insisting upon.
Absolutely. In most of our branches, we don't have enough electrical outlets. And so people are dragging their laptop cords all over the branch. And so we want to have a building that is adaptable to changing technology because that's how we have to be in the world today. And that means at the library too. So we're designing our branches so that we can adapt to technology and we can also be a resource for individuals that come in and use technology in our branches.
What is all this costing?
The whole facilities plan costs about $120 million over 10 years.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but it's worth it to do these things for the residents of St. Louis County.
We have some calls and call. Oh, by the way, before I go to the calls, when will the whole thing be completed?
The whole thing will be completed in 10 years.
So we should be finished at the
end of 10 years.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Okay. If you're ready, we'll bring in Randy calling from South St. Louis. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to point out that voters in St. Louis County were not given the option to renovate the Lewis and Clark branch versus tear it down and replace it with a new building. Had they been given that option, we might have seen a different outcome. But it was all just lumped together in one big cumbersome ballot measure. That's one point. The other point is that a number of independent architects, engineers, and historians have affirmed that the existing Lewis and Clark branch could be renovated, upgraded, and expanded to achieve the same desired square footage and facilities as the new building that's proposed there at a much lower cost to taxpayers. So I do believe it's a little bit disingenuous to say that this building is too dated or outmoded to 21st century uses, because look at the downtown Central Library, which is, 100 years old and recently unveiled and is now lauded as one of the foremost library branches in the nation. Certainly, if a building of that vintage can be upgraded to 21st century uses, then Lewis and Clark, which was only built in 1963, and also designed to be extremely versatile and adaptable, could also achieve the same outcome.
Randy, we have the point. I don't mean to cut you off, but we want to get time to answer your questions. Some other folks are waiting as well. Kristen, go ahead. Another question I'm sure that you expected.
Sure. Well, we feel like we are delivering on the promises that we made to the community that lives around and uses the Lewis and Clark branch. And we surveyed the patrons there, and they overwhelmingly supported a new library branch, a brand new facility in that location. And we feel like we're delivering on the promises. We have concerns about the current facility, that the lower floor is not a usable space. And we want to give back to the residents what we told them we were going to do. And that's a beautiful, brand new library that will meet the changing needs of that community.
Kristen, is it primarily the criticism you're getting primarily because of the architecture of the buildings as opposed to contents and facilities inside?
Yes, definitely. It has to do with the fact that the building was originally designed by Frederick Dunn, and there are some very famous and beautiful stained glass windows in the building, which we will be incorporating the stained glass windows prominently in the design of the new building. And I know that there's been some concern that no one has seen the plans about what we're going to do with the stained glass windows, but we have told the architects that are working on that facility that we want them prominently displayed and that there will be natural light coming through them, which is a concern that's also been expressed by the architectural community, which I completely respect and admire their passion. We just have to agree to disagree on what we want to give to the community.
And to his point that if they could do it with the city library downtown, they could do it other places.
I think that's a valid point. However, the city library is a Carnegie library, and I agree. I think it's beautiful and amazing, and I love it as much as everybody else does. But this facility at Lewis and Clark needs an update. It's what we promised the voters. It's what the residents want and need in that community. It's a struggling community, has sometimes a struggling school district that can't always meet the needs of its residents, and we're there to provide those services for them.
Okay, let's take another call. Mark in St. Louis, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I was wondering what you're doing to activate the outdoor spaces at your branches.
Okay, so at many of our branches, we have added recently community gardens. We have a community garden at our Prairie Commons branch, and we have just added a community garden at our Cliff Cave branch in Oakville. And in those locations, residents from the surrounding area can purchase plots, and they come to our facilities to garden, and they get to keep anything that they garden. It's their plot. And then we do programming in the garden. We do story time in the garden. We have programs for adults about gardening in the garden as well. And then at some of our new locations, we plan on activating the green space. At Tesson Ferry, for example, there is space available for a community garden and also a children's outdoor programming area.
Once again, I have to point out that libraries have changed. This is something unheard of not too many years ago. Back to the phones. Andrew in St. Louis City, go ahead. You're on the air with Kristen Sorth.
Hello. yes, I live in St. Louis County. I'm wondering about the sustainability of the idea of tearing down libraries and building a lot of new buildings, if that's really the right way to proceed into the future, and if renovating old buildings wouldn't be more appropriate. Also, in the case of Lewis and Clark, there was a promise by the previous library director that the community would be involved in discussions about potentially renovating and saving the building.
Okay. Well, I can respond to that. We're actually renovating 13 of our facilities. So 19 of our facilities will be renovated or replaced, and of those, 13 are renovations. So we are replacing those that have been determined through two different facilities master plans that they need new facilities or in some cases at new locations or on the same place. And then what was your second question?
Those
I'm sorry.
That have been determined through we
can't continue with that.
Okay.
That's too bad.
Okay.
But I think you answered the basic question. Time is beginning to get away from us. Let's get a couple more calls in. And Susie in Rock Hill, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say how very pleased I am with our wonderful library system in the county. As I understand it, we are like second in the whole United States in circulation. And they're so forward-looking. I was a teacher of, I just retired, of adolescent literature, and I am thrilled that you are providing special places for the adolescents, because that's a real need. That's where we lose a lot of our children. They go away from books, and they never get as literate as they should be to exist in our society today. I'm just very happy with our library system, and I love the open spaces. It's just wonderful.
Thanks, Susie.
Thanks, Susie. I appreciate that. And I should mention, too, that we have another new service for our kids in our branches, and they're called Early Literacy Stations. They're located at all of our branches, and it's a fun way to get kids excited about learning using digital resources. And they're freestanding computer stations designed for use by young children. And the software includes programs that are both fun and educational, and they have Dora and Learn Your ABCs, Learn Math, that kind of thing. So it's another resource for parents to bring their kids into the library.
Thank you for the call. We'll take one more. Dennis in Overland, go ahead, but make it quick, Dennis. We're running out of time.
Yes. I was just suggesting the idea of walking tracks, because I know people use books on tape and food courts in an upper area with glass to have people be able to look out over the area. And when you're dealing with conservative people in the area, solar plug-ins, if you can install them when you're doing this, then there will be that whole idea that you are conserving people's good tax dollars. And thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for the suggestion.
We have another suggestion here, and this is from Natalie, who says, I love the library. Just one complaint. We have to wait in line outside for a long time. This is unnecessary and difficult for those of us who are old and disabled. Please find a better way.
I'm wondering if that has to do with our author events, perhaps, or maybe waiting for it to – I'm trying to think of what that might be. Maybe on Sundays when we're waiting to open. I'm assuming that's for our author events, I bet, because we often have long lines at headquarters when we have a popular author. So I will give that some thought.
As you so often do, by the way. I can testify to that. Your Westfall series has drawn some of the most famous authors in the country. And I can tell you the authors love coming to the St. Louis County Library.
Well, we love providing it for the residents of St. Louis County. And we know how literate this city is and how thrilled they are to have authors here. So, and we thank you, Don, for often hosting our author events.
Certainly my pleasure. And Kristen, our time is up. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with the continuation of your plan. It is ongoing and full speed ahead. I think the fact that people are complaining about it is testimony to the fact that how much the library means to them, and they get emotionally involved. And that's actually a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's great to hear from people.
That's Kristen Sorth of the St. Louis County Library System. Coming up, the naked truth about the naked truth, one of our community's most famous statues. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.